Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow, and I'm joined. I'm
reluctantly.
Just joined.
No, you're okay. You're joined with the spirits that be.
This is the thing, is that you know when I'm afraid of making a mistake, sometimes I'll just clam up. And I've received such shame that literally in the moment I do not know if it's joined with or joined by, and that's the God honest truth. I can't say for certain. If you put a gun to my head, which would be insane given the circumstances, I would not know what to say.
That's interesting, because I know you to actually, when you're nervous, speak more. It has been the case in our friendship that when I get nervous, I simply may not speak for many hours.
This is true.
Whereas Carolina will speak more, and then I really kind of benefit off of that, because I just let her speak. And some might say, in the same way that people on The Real Housewives of New York often urge Ramona to stop Sonia from drinking so much, some might say, why don't you step in and say something when Carolina is going off about people putting guns to her head for no reason. It's no one asked about whether or not there's going to be a gun to her head about the join by thing. It's she's just talking about that, and people are wait, Devin, why didn't you step in? And I'm for me, I'm working on boundaries. So for me, it doesn't feel right to step in, and I need to let Carolina hit rock bottom herself. Some might have even said, Devin, why are you letting Carolina get a podcast? Doesn't she have enough platforms for her talking about joined by and joined with? It's we've heard it. We know that that's her whole thing. And I'm okay. But again, if I were to have refused the opportunity to be on a podcast for no reason other than the fact that I'm Carolina's friend, then I would just be enabling her. So even though I didn't even want to do the podcast, I really was oh my
this
God.
This is when I... We're taking this out.
Yes?
Devin...
Why?
At a party... I also just have to, I have to say that Devin at a party, you do that thing where when you get nervous, you completely shut down. And I swear trying to get Devin to join back into the party after she's made that decision is like my dog trying to make a gopher come out of its hole in the park. You just stick your nose in and you beg and you beg. And Devin just, it's not happening. She's like, I'm not joining in on the fray. And I don't mean the 2004 alt rock band.
Okay, I do mean that, because I actually have the most, I have two distinct memories that are coming to mind right now. And one is of running, jogging in middle or high school. So I guess it's not a distinct memory, because I actually don't even know if I was running or jogging or how old I was. But I have a memory of listening to the Frey song, How to Save a Life.
Beautiful.
A good song on my iPod. And I was doing some sort of exercise. And I remember getting so emotional and into it.
Oh, the best feeling in middle school.
It's what was I even thinking about? Because there's no way I was in a relationship, but yet I was where did I go wrong? I lost her.
I remember being in seventh grade listening to Don't Speak.
I know what you're saying.
And just sitting on the floor of my living room and crying. And my mom came around the corner and she was like, are you okay? And I didn't know how to tell her, yes, I'm absolutely fine. This is just what I want to do right now. I want to catch a feeling.
My mom laughed at me once because me and my friends, one of which was one of my high school BFFs, Sarah Perda, we were in the car and we were singing to Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne. And it's hey, hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend.
Oh, no, you don't need to recount that. And I know every lyric and the Lil Ma remix.
The
Little Mama remix.
My mom was laughing at us because she was you were getting so aggressive about I don't like your girlfriend. And she was who are they thinking about? They're 16. This is terrifying. What's going to happen? And I was Mom, you haven't the slightest clue how dark it's going to get. You try to have a nightmare in your little innocent mind about how dark it's going to get. And your mind will be blown, okay? But anyway,
You can tell that Devin and I are getting rowdy, and I think, according to some headlines that we're going to address, everyone has, ever since everyone got pricked by our little Moderna, our Pfizer, our Johnson & Johnsons, we have been acting a fool, as they used to say.
Sorry, I hate myself today. I keep making the worst jokes.
Devin's fired. We are...
I'm walking into my getting fired by iHeartRadio right now, and I don't regret it because you know what? I had to do me, and if me was saying Johnson when Carolina said Johnson & Johnson, then I don't want to do any other way. I don't want to be any other way.
They're like, she's too edgy. Her humor is too edgy.
I said, a Johnson? They're like, she's too much. Like, the it's like maybe in 20 years the world will be ready for Johnson, but right now they're not.
The headlines I'm referencing are, of course, the Rita Ora, Tessa Thompson, and Taika Waititi picks.
Yes.
I mean, first off, I think anyone sane Google Taika Waititi wife ? After
100%
Jojo Rabbit, found out that he at the time was married to a beautiful producer of his films. Great, congrats, good for them. Bye. I guess on to the next one. I'll just be still hitchhiking on the side of the road, metaphorically. Anyway, then we find out that he's dating Rita Ora, and we're like, okay. I mean, that's sort of my response to Rita Ora in general. I'm not exactly sure who she is, and I never have been.
Yeah, there's a whole podcast that has a recurring segment that's amazing called What's Rita Ora Up To? The Who Weekly. The podcast is Who Weekly, and they have a segment called What's Rita Ora Up To? And it's just about how, like, she basically is everywhere, but yet who is she?
Who is she?
Who is she, and how does she end up everywhere, but yet she ends up everywhere? She ends up at the royal wedding. Like, it's just,
was she
like,
at the
why?
Royal wedding?
I believe she was.
This is
if
bananas.
I'm not crazy.
But yeah, she married Meghan and Harry. She officiated.
She's the royal pastor. Like, it's crazy. It's like, on the one hand, she's a pop star. On the other hand, she's a pastor for royals.
What doesn't she do? Okay, Tessa.
And on the other hand, she is also Greta Thunberg. She has the power to shapeshift, and she becomes Greta Thunberg. And that documentary, I Am Greta, or whatever it's called, like, I Am Greta or Hello Greta,
I Am
or whatever,
Rita Ora,
is actually I Am Rita, and it's like Yanni Laurel. It's like some people see I Am Greta, some people see I Am Greta, and other people see I Am Rita, and some people see Greta Thunberg, and I see Rita.
Oh my god,
it's the same thing. It's actually the exact same thing.
So pictures were released of Rita, Tessa, and Taika in sort of what I would describe the morning after a really crazy night when you're still kind of in the night. The night hasn't yet ended, even though the day is begging it to. And looking at it, once in a while, I get a flashback of like what my wilder drinking days. And looking at it, I was like, yep, that's what she looks like. It was definitely not as attractive. But, you know, at one picture, Taika has a cigarette in his mouth and one behind his ear, you know, standing by his understudy cigarette. And
yes,
they're just constantly arms over all each other. I don't know whether they had a threesome or not, and it's really none of my business. I mean, I say that publicly.
I mean,
Privately, it actually is my business, and I will.
I mean, we're hinging an entire podcast episode about it, but it really has nothing to do with
but
us.
But we, like, are respecting their privacy. We
want them to do whatever they want.
Whatever
we will not comment
you
aside
want.
From on our podcast.
I will only say what Devin said to me when we looked at these pictures, where she said, it's kind of hot, but I don't really need Rita in my life right now.
Yeah, like, I was like, I'm down to watch Taika Waititi and Tessa Thompson do whatever, whenever.
Whatever,
like,
they want.
I would watch them paint something beige. Like, I would watch that. But I just, like, Rita stumbling in is just like, wait, what? And also, it just was shocking. Like, these are Tessa Thompson, Taika Waititi, again, regardless of Rita, she could be there or not. But Taika and Tessa, it's like, these are reputable names. These are people I don't often see on the Daily Mail. So when I saw them in a Daily Mail link, which is actually, I saw them in a Just Jared link, but it brought me to a Daily Mail link. When I saw that, I was like, this must be like a fake thing. Like, every once in a while, they'll be like, oh, this person was caught like doing this, and you look at it and it's like, they're not really caught doing shit. Like, there's nothing going on here. So I was like, oh, this is probably going to be nothing. It's like, they're hanging out probably. I look at it, I'm like, wait, what the fuck? They're like fully wasted in daylight and they're making out three-way like it's the Real World hot tub. Like, I was like, whoa, this is striking. This is striking stuff. Like, I don't see this every day. Like,
it is it is Real World energy, 1,000%.
I was like, how old is he? Like, who are these men? There's like other men sitting nearby. I'm like, what are they doing? Like, they're like in Hawaiian shirts and it's Australia. And it's like, is this a house or a townhouse? I couldn't tell if it's a condo. And it's like, why does he live in a condo? He should have his own property that's separate from other properties. Like, why is that? Why are they on the balcony? Go inside. Why do they have jackets on, but they have no pants on? Like, it's just so many questions and so striking. And I just felt like, I don't know, I sent it to Caroline. I just said, like, this is intense. Like, whoa.
That is what you said. And it was such an accurate description. And I literally out loud.
Caroline was like, wow. Oh my God. Wow. Like, we're not taking this in. We're having trouble taking this in.
I really hope that it's the harbinger of a new age. Now, harbinger usually means, it usually has a negative connotation.
Oh, I don't know if you can hear, but Caroline is actually typing to Google harbinger right now. It might get edited out, but let it be known on the record that I can hear Caroline typing harbinger into
Google. I wanted to make sure it also had positive connotations, okay?
She goes, harbinger is not a word that click, click, click has normally click a positive click connotation.
Click. Question mark.
But click? But click. And I don't know what it means. And I'm not pretending I know what it means. But, you know, I'm not over here clicking. So I would have moved past it.
I would
have said, yeah, it's totally not a harbinger. It's definitely not a harbinger. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Harbinger? Not this.
We were in a cul-de-sac the other night. And I asked Will if it was called a hamlet. And he was like, I think a hamlet's a town. And I was like,
is this called a Romeo and Juliet or
English is my first language and my last language because I simply am still learning it.
Just so you know, according to Gilmore Girls, the greatest television series of the American canon, the plural of cul-de-sac is cul-de-sac. So just pocket that
just
away.
Just tell me that. Don't pay the compliment to Gilmore Girls.
No, just pocket it. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like you're hanging out in cul-de-sacs for no reason during the week.
I'm committing a murder.
It sounds like you're staking out Cielo Drive.
Hey, so, too soon.
Yes, Quentin Tarantino. He can comment on that.
But you can't.
I can't. Okay. Well, I see where the lines are drawn, and it's clearly because I don't have a penis. Because I don't have a member, I can't talk about Cielo Drive. Okay.
I want to move on to Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott are in an open relationship.
And it had to be known.
It had to be known. I think this is chaos, honestly. But whatever, they have a kid. But it's really funny because someone said to Dumois, they took like their kid and two of her nieces to Disneyland. And someone said to Dumois that they were all over each other. And I was like, wait, do you know how hard it is to watch one kid at Disneyland? Never mind three. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have time to hold someone's hand. I'd just be like, get over there. Where is she? Do you have eyes on her? Okay, is she in line? Okay, are you guys thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Okay, who has to go to the bathroom?
Thirsty.
you can't ride that ride. Are you upset? Okay. Are you tired?
They're literally grinding while their nanny is like making
That's
sure the kids
true.
Are okay.
They have like a team.
Stormy is like falling off the side of the teacup ride and they're like grinding in the corner. But it's fine. No, I thought this was interesting because it made the article, it was from TMZ, which we know that all things about Kardashians on TMZ are true because they have the closest relationship with TMZ. So it seemed like why did they have to announce this? I guess it's like, maybe there's a cheating rumor that was about to come out and they had to get in front of it and say it was open. Maybe like they want to have a threesome and they want to put it out there for someone to reach out to them.
No.
Although that seems like they could easily just find anyone. They could easily just let a girl know I'm around. Just kidding. I'm like so much older than them. It would be so awkward. I'd be like, okay, like I look like a pasty white tissue and I have like nothing going on and I'm almost 30, so like, what do you guys want to do? And they would be
that's your intro. I have like nothing. That's gonna be my new Raya bio. I have like nothing going on.
I have nothing going on and I'm older than you. What's up?
So what do you guys want to do?
Do you guys want to play a board game? Like,
do you guys want to go to Disneyland?
But I'm also like, is, I can't tell with their relationship who's more into it. Like, I completely agree. So I watched this video with them when they first came out as a couple. I watched a video where it was like they were asking each other questions. It was like some YouTube
GQ shoot, I think. Thing.
Yes. And he didn't know shit about her. Like, and she was like, wait, baby, really? Like, she's like, what are my dog's names? She asked him, what are my dog's names? Imagine this is you, Carolina, as a dog mom.
Listen.
She was like, what are my dog's names? And he's like, okay, is it, shit. And I was like, so you're strange. Like, you're strangers. You just, like, don't care.
No, she has so much help. She's never picked up dog shit in her life. He probably never sees the dog.
He didn't know anything. And she kept being like, wait, what? You don't. I mean,
I actually thought that interview was really hot. I'm going to be honest. Mainly for this one part where she was like, what are my nicknames for you?
Have a threesome with me. And he was, and you were like, yes.
I was like, they were like, ew, is that the first AD? I'm like in the background holding an Evian.
And Evian. Anyone thirsty? Anyone thirsty?
I'm just playing.
Anyone thirsty?
No, I, at one point she's like, what are my nicknames for you? What do I call you? And he said, Trav.
What do I call
like T. And then he looks at the camera and he's like, sometimes daddy. And he winks.
Ooh.
And she was like, okay. Oh.
Well, she was like 19, so it's kind of dark.
All right. Well, but, she's not. Yeah. Well, I think she was older than 19, and I'd like to think so.
It's hard to say these days the way these kids get butt fillers and then get an infection, which is literally a thing.
Yeah. I had like a moment last week where I was like, why haven't I ever considered butt implants? Or not butt implants.
No, don't
like,
do
what's
it.
I didn't mean like butt implants. I meant like if there's a shot I could take that would make my ass grow. Like, why wouldn't I do that? And I sort of had this weird epiphany where, you know, do I totally love Josh. Like, I was like, I'm going to get butt fillers. And
wait, Josh? What's Josh?
It's that scene from Clueless where she's like, I'm totally and completely in love with Josh.
Oh, okay. 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 Got it. You're in love with someone named Josh and he wants you to get butt fillers?
Yes, like, that's what I'm trying to
what
say.
What happened since last week? Jeez.
So I did the next step, get which was plugs. To, and then I got butt plugs instead. I was like, while I'm here.
You had, Carol, you know you don't have to get them surgically implanted. Someone lied to you. Now you can never go to the bathroom again.
I YouTubed the Brazilian butt lift, which I guess is what people are doing. It's the non-surgical butt implant. And I was like, oh, okay. What is this? This could be cool and easy and fun. Give me a big fat ass. I look at it. It does not look non-surgical. It is so hard to look at. I was so upset for that people are doing that. Just, I don't even, for shits. Literally for shits. And
they literally do it so that they can shit easier. That's the crazy thing. That's the crazy thing. The Kardashians, all they really care about is having effective bowel movements. And that's why they get these things done.
Human
diapers. And that's what's crazy. That's what's crazy.
That's something that Devin told me where she was like, they look like they're wearing, like these fake butts look like you're wearing a diaper. And now when I see a really big butt, that's all I can think is that it's like a full diaper. And it's,
well, that's what came from Sean Cullen, a friend of the pod, told me. She referred to the Kardashians as diapy dump asses. And I was like, oh, that's like simply anatomically correct. I spoke to a healthcare professional who told me that the butt implants are like the most likely to get infected.
They are the most dangerous. You don't. This isn't a top secret that you learned.
You have to do it. Like, you have to use your ass every day. That's why.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Like, but you have to do it.
But Carolina, you have to risk your life. Let me tell you this: your life is not worth living unless you get that concrete.
You know,
I've
thought about
ass.
It. I've also
you have
thought
to get concrete in your ass or die.
Or die.
Some people say live free or die. I say concrete in your ass or die.
We have to move on to.
Do we? Are people not interested in me talking about concrete and asses and diapies and diapers?
Diapies.
Okay. Okay, I also just peed my pants laughing. I'm not kidding. And that's interesting since I'm talking about diapers.
Man, that's interesting. And that's the news for you. I'm just going to quickly gloss over the fact that, yes, new Bennifer picks out. And I want to say this, J-Lo, either she's really good at acting happy or she does look
or
sincerely
she looks fucking happy.
Happy and blessed with a dick. Ben looks better. He looks hotter.
I think that I can't remember her reasoning, but Tess Sitzman, another friend and guest of the pod, did once tell me that she can tell Ben Affleck is good at sex. And I want to get her theory on that again, because I remember thinking like, oh my God, that's true. Like, you can tell.
That's absolutely true.
I think that's true for J-Lo. It's just like, she looks like she has the effect produced by orgasm, which is like joy and believing that someone who has a phoenix tattoo could be, you know, a lifelong partner.
I think it's summer vibes.
In short,
it's
the vibes are summer.
You thought you were going to get married. You were getting settled down. Rug pulled out of your ass and you...
Concrete falls out of your ass.
The next thing you know, your concrete falls out of your ass. You get an infection. A-Rod leaves you for Southern Charm. Your ex calls you up. He kept the watch. This is what I thought was really sweet. He kept the watch that J-Lo got him back in the day, Jenny in the Block videos. He either kept it or she geniusly got a replacement,
bought him a new one,
and told him to wear it for the pics. But
for the pics, so that Ana de Armas would see it. Because think about your Ana de Armas, and yes, you're like more beautiful than any person could ever dream of being. So
not me.
Fuck you in the first place. But besides Carolina, imagine like, okay, lay people out there who aren't us, lay people who might just look like your average Joe, which is not us, then you might look at Ana de Armas and think she's really pretty. But it would also be a struggle if I was her and I find this watch and I'm like, oh, what's the story behind this? Which is something I definitely would do. Say, what's the story behind this object? And Ben Affleck says, oh, J-Lo gave me that in the Jenny from the Block days. I would throw up. I would be sick.
I would scream.
I would have diarrhea.
I would probably get anxious and have a panic attack, which if we're going to be really honest on this podcast, my panic attacks usually end with diarrhea.
Me too. Oh my God. I get so nervous that I shit myself. I'm not even kidding. Okay. I am peeing my pants. I am actively peeing my pants and then saying that I'm just kidding when I say that I soil myself.
You diapy dump ass. Like,
clearly I'm not kidding. I'm soiling myself right now. So what's going on? Okay.
We have to move on because we have a very important dramatic Instagram rating. It's from the all-time classic Jessica Simpson. She really is a Bronte sister. She's like the Bronte sister who didn't get to finish eighth grade, but has all of the emotion. But she has all of the emotion. She just doesn't have a lot of tools to express herself, even though Open Book is objectively a good book.
I mean, it's objectively, it's a literary classic. It's like, you know, we can't even get started. Caroline and I will both cry. We can't get into that. This is her latest masterpiece.
I'll do the picture description if you don't mind
giving
breath to these words. So it's a black and white pic of Jess and, you guessed it, Eric Johnson, her husband, on their anniversary.
Followed by what looks like 17 green hearts, she writes. 11 years strong, all caps, 11 hearts filled in every passing year with unconditional, passionate, fascinating, supportive, beautiful, tempting, ravishing, exquisite, sublime, marvelous, honest, happy, adored, ideal, incomparable, powerful, mesmeric, play on words, love, all caps. Our connected hearts are praised and celebrated on this serendipitous day. I knew the night we met the fate of you. Locked the key to my searching heart and simply held my soul with love and honor. Then, now, and for the rest of my life, I am fully and always yours and you mine. Gaining access to your heart to dwell and reside in is the greatest gift I will ever rest within.
Jesus.
wait. Gaining access to your heart to dwell and reside in is the greatest gift I will ever rest within until the end of time.
I get it.
Okay, uncertain what that means. Time goes by. The perfect children you gave me are growing older. But with you and I, time does not exist, for it only allows space to broaden, expanding beyond horizons, just to love and be loved. Happy anniversary to us, the beauty of us, as is and forevermore.
Whew. Rough.
I mean, as is and forevermore, right? Just as is and forevermore.
Honestly, I was just like, I mean, talking about, I'm not even just saying this, Eric Johnson also, I want to move past big dick energy and just get to what Tess was talking about with Ben Affleck, where he yes. looks like he's really good in bed. Whatever he's packing, he's good in bed.
Okay, and I also just want to shout out to the one person who just wrote, "Where is new music?" in all caps amidst all these amidst all these people who are like, "Congratulations, like, you guys are amazing. Always nice to see people in love, whatever." And someone's like, "Where is new music?"
All and it's caps. Like, babe, you're going to have to find another outlet. Like, unless you
she's
want.
Not coming back. She's really not coming back with anything other than shoes and purses for a while. So
if you want a pair of bedazzled jeans with.
Which? Who would say no?
With horseshoes on them.
Who would say no?
Go not to I. Jessica Simpson collection at Macy's or to Devin's closet where she's got to have something comparable.
And you know what? As is and forevermore.
We are going to take a quick break and then we have a couple of advice questions to get to.
I want true romance.
And we're back with true romance. We have some advice questions from our listeners who have DM'd us. I love when our listeners DM us. Every time they do, I get excited. And I'm like, ooh.
Yes.
I'm excited, honored that anyone even wants to talk to me in general. As Devin said to Travis and Kylie, I look like a white used piece of tissue paper. I'm older than you and I have nothing going on.
those were my words, yes.
So when people DM us, I just get very happy that you guys want to join the convo. So Tululi writes, "Hello, love your podcast. I want to know your thoughts about the following situation. I've been dating a guy for 9 months. We're pretty serious. Before this relationship, I'd been single since 2012. He had just split up with his wife. Their divorce is supposed to be final this month. I was hesitant to be in a real relationship for many reasons. He was not hesitant. It's what he wanted. I really, really like him, so I felt comfortable moving into a solid boyfriend-girlfriend situation. He has 2 kids. I have 2 kids. Over Mother's Day weekend, his kids were with their mother. Mine were with me. My ex always takes my kids to get me Mother's Day gifts and cards, so my kids did a good job of celebrating me. Happy Mother's Day. I love that. However, my boyfriend... didn't even say Happy Mother's Day. He was literally just at my house, lounging around on the couch all day, alternating between watching TV while I was in there and staring at his phone when I wasn't. He's not been the greatest at holidays as of yet, but never this terrible. I love showing appreciation on holidays and acknowledging important dates, and him not saying shit to me really bothered me. It's honestly a deal breaker if he's going to be like that forever. I've let him know it bothered me, and I have told him we need to talk about it once I've composed my thoughts in a way I feel comfortable presenting them. Am I crazy for wanting at least acknowledgement, even though I'm not his baby mama?" Tululi, no, of course not. You're totally allowed to. That's a reasonable ask. It's like asking for someone to say happy birthday on your birthday. I think a couple of things. I'm going to pigeonhole men here and say that things that seem completely reasonable to me and most women do not seem completely normal and reasonable to men. For instance, if it's my boyfriend's birthday, I have been thinking about the gift. I have been thinking about the gift for about a week. On my birthday 1 year, I could tell my boyfriend had gotten it like that day. And I was like,
"Yep,
okay, you gotta be fucking kidding me." And I've stopped using that as a barometer of love, and I've started being very clear about what I want. So now I say stuff like, "I want a card." Because I'm not asking for like the Cartier love bracelet or anything like that. I'm asking for what I really want through all of that stuff, which is your intentions. I want you to reflect upon me for a day. And I want that in material form. So flowers, a card. And, you know, there's plenty of reasons why he may have overlooked Mother's Day. We don't need to figure them out, but we just need to be clear next time and not make it even a thing. You can just make it a, hey, I was hurt that you didn't say Happy Mother's Day or get me anything. But I think that gifts can get convoluted. I've seen like girls return their boyfriend's gifts and stuff when really like, what do I really want? I mean, that's when I figured out a while ago that I wanted a card. I was like, I just want, don't get me wrong, something nice is great and it's a good surprise is always welcome. But I want to know that I'm important. And so I tell guys what to get me, basically. And you're allowed to ask him to express himself that way. And the deal breaker isn't that he doesn't acknowledge holidays. The deal breaker is when you're asking someone to show up for you and they are showing and they are showing themselves to be incapable of doing so. So it doesn't sound like he's incapable. It sounds like he was just kind of lazy on Mother's Day. Devin, what do you think?
I mean, given that I once called a boyfriend on my birthday and asked him, are you going to send me donuts to my office or what? You could say that I am someone who likes a little something something for occasions. But yeah, this is something I definitely relate to because I do like, I mean, I've taken the love languages test and my two things are acts of service, meaning I really feel loved when someone like offers to do a favor for me or like offers to do something for me or is like, do you need a glass of water and stuff like that. And I really feel loved second most from receiving gifts. And yes, yes, I wish that I could not be considered so materialistic as having gifts as my love language, but to me, what it really means in all seriousness, like not as a joke, it just means like I think when someone does something thoughtful that's totally yes. not asked for, like if someone, it doesn't even have, like Carolina was saying, if it was literally like, oh my God, I saw this like piece of candy and I know it's your favorite, so I bought it for you, like this candy bar, I would just be like, oh my God, this is, or whatever it is, like I saw a sticker of donuts and candy bars and I know that the only things you like are donuts and candy bars, so I got whatever. Just like the smallest thing is something that makes me feel like, oh, you thought of me and knew I would like something. And that's what matters.
My mom and dad have like the cutest story that reminded me of this, which was when I was in the hospital after my accident. My mom was like really depressed, obviously, that I was so injured. And
why?
She was just like bummed out. I don't know, a bunch of like other stuff probably too. No, but she was walking. My dad
the
was
news.
Driving.
Ugh.
The news just on her doom scrolling.
She's like, I just have ennui. I don't know why. But anyway, when's your next massive surgery that could be life or death?
And her and my dad, my dad was driving her to a hotel. He had room he had gotten for like my family to crash in, basically. And my mom said she passed. There was a balloon floating past in the parking lot. And she was like, oh, look, balloon. Like, just sort of, you know, whatever. And then she said when she got into the hotel room, my dad had put the balloon there.
Oh.
Isn't that so sweet?
Okay, that's so sweet. But my number one question is, in what world did they not immediately get back together on that spot moment?
I don't know. Anyone want to call in?
Anyone want to do a parent trap with Carolina right now? No, I think that that is so cute. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Like to think, oh my God, you remembered this thing. Oh, it's just so sweet to hear stories like that. I was just thinking of another one I heard, but I won't go into it. But anyway, the point being, yes, I appreciate stuff like that. And I know that it is, it's like a miscommunication thing. It's like this person, because I love giving gifts, like Carolina said, I assume that that's how people show their love. And if they don't do that, I assume they literally don't give a shit about me. Because right. if it was someone's birthday and I didn't acknowledge it, or if it was Mother's Day and I didn't acknowledge it, that would mean I just like, for me personally, that would mean I wasn't expressing my love language. I wasn't showing I cared. Whereas for someone else, that might just not be the way they communicate their love. But I think the most important thing that you included in what you wrote to us was that you took time to like think about what you were going to say, which I think is like yeah. the hardest thing for me personally to do, because normally I'll just like either not say something till the end of the day and then absolutely explode in tears and anger and be like, this is just like connected to everything that's ever happened to us. And now you're doing the one thing that I knew you were going to do. Or I just like you know, don't in the moment, I just like freak out and say something really defensive or really passive aggressive. And it sounds like you took time to think about what you needed to ask for. And, you know, all we can ever do is ask for our needs to be met. And like, sometimes I get embarrassed about asking for my needs to be met because I don't want to be like difficult or like needy or all the stuff that gets attributed particularly to women.
Right.
But the truth is, like, if someone thinks that my needs are too much, that has nothing to do with me. Like, if I'm someone who needs acknowledgement and thoughtfulness, that's just something about me. And if the person I'm with, like, can't accept that, then they shouldn't be with me, and they should know that that's something that I need. Because there's never going to be a day where I'm going to be like the type of person who's like totally fine with not being acknowledged. So I need to like get that information out there and see if the person can receive it or not.
Yeah. And I am not a pain in the ass to be with. So for me to ask for certain things, that isn't me risking my relationship.
Yeah.
Or it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I like this area where this angle that we're delving into, because I think it also is related to our next question.
Yes.
Our listener Reginald writes in, just finished listening to the Codependency Part 2 episode. Really great and insightful discussion. Felt really topical with my current relationship of less than 6 months. My girlfriend and I had a small argument where she was expecting me to do things without having to tell me. We both like cooking for each other, but she doesn't like it when I'm in the kitchen with her when she's cooking. She says that I hover. So I tried staying out of the kitchen and out of her way. I would pop up occasionally, ask if there's anything that I could help with, give her a peck on the cheek, and then leave. Even that seemed to be too much by the second or third time. She was also upset that I didn't clear off the kitchen table for supper. We talked about it, and she was pretty upset at the beginning about me not understanding the situation and not knowing her like her friends of 10 years do. When she was less upset, she said that she wasn't being fair to me. That's cool. She also said that she has a hard time being direct, like she maybe doesn't have the capacity / bandwidth to tell people what she needs. I really love her and want to reduce her stress, but I'm having a hard time knowing how to be supportive aside from just trying to be patient and understanding. That is supportive. I tried to be as calm as I could, but I was feeling a little frustrated inside. We did kiss and make up, and right now we're still working on it. How do I support her and help her open up / be more direct with me? I don't want to change her, but I fear that I'll keep screwing up and that resentment will spoil the relationship. I'm trying to pick up on her emotional status's cues, but she does a very good job keeping things inside until it reaches that boiling point. I used to share podcasts with her, but I'm not sure if I should share this most recent episode for fear of being manipulative. Thanks again. So I love you both. I really do. And I think that acknowledging your shortcomings is a part of a relationship and a part of being vulnerable. So I think that you are being really supportive, and what you're doing is helping her open up, or else she would not have opened up. And it sounds like you are trying to be patient, understanding, and it's natural also. And I'm saying this with love for her, because I identify with her a lot, actually. It's okay to be frustrated by this behavior sometimes. This is a natural part of intimacy. We do things that frustrate each other when we're close too. You know, it's not just always love, 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 love. And I too have felt at times that I do not have the capacity and bandwidth to tell people what I need or to be honest with them about what I need, because it's too scary. And so instead I just simmer. But when people do that around me, I get very triggered. I thought a stranger was mad at me today because I thought she was giving me the silent treatment, when in reality, she just didn't know me. But I'm that sensitive to that. So I do.
In reality, she was just walking past with her dog, and Carolina had screamed at her dog and she was ignoring her, and Carolina took that as the silent treatment.
I literally said to her, thank you for being so patient with me. This is a true story. And she said, what are you talking about?
Oh my God, Carol, no.
So what I'm trying to say is I'm hypersensitive to emotional cues, statuses and cues, to the extent that I make them up sometimes. Yes. And that has held me back a lot in life and it's distracted my energy. So I think that this relationship is a good opportunity for you both. You to put boundaries around her moods and how they affect you, meaning that she can be huffy or whatever, you know, and you don't have to completely take that in. you don't have to check in with her on the kitchen if she doesn't like it at all. You can just leave her alone and give her that space. And basically, you will not be able to remove this block that she's having in terms of being honest. You can make the most warm and inviting environment of all time. And if someone's struggling with that, it's really up to them. So
yeah,
I would really just be clear with and repetitive. I mean, one of my favorite pieces of advice was from a friend who said, you know, relationships are having the same conversation over and over again. So I think a lot of it might be the, okay, next time just tell me. And, be, you know, because it'll drive me crazy if I try to read your mind all the time. And that's the thing, too, is that we have to take people at face value.
Yeah, I think I relate to both people in this situation. I relate to, like, not to being closed off and not saying what I need and having trouble communicating that. And I relate so much to you, listener, who wrote in on, like, trying to get to the bottom of someone else's emotions and wanting to, like, send podcast links and, like, try to have discussion after discussion after discussion. And, like, for me, it comes from a place of fear that if I don't know what the other person's needs are, or if I don't know exactly what's going on with them, I won't be able to, like, manage my own behavior to be suited to this person. And I am constantly in fear of, I am constantly in so much fear that if I don't manage the people's emotions around me, that I won't be in control of whether they like me or not, and then I'll end up alone is basically how I feel.
Wow.
So to combat that, I basically have to practice, like, trust and acceptance, and basically realize, like, this person's emotions are not my responsibility and have nothing to do with me. Even though I'm in a relationship with someone, or I'm in a friendship with someone, or I'm in a working thing with someone, that doesn't mean their emotions have anything to do with me. And it doesn't mean that I'm responsible for carrying or solving those emotions. What I'm responsible for is actually only to show up in the role that I've signed on for. So, like, I'm actually only responsible to show up for my parents as their daughter. I'm not responsible to show up as, like, their therapist and, like, their financial advisor and their this. I'm only responsible to show up for my friends as a friend. I'm responsible for employing them so I can be secure that they'll always be okay forever. I'm not responsible to solve their relationship problems so I know that they won't be heartbroken. I'm not responsible to convince them that I know what is best for them. And in romantic relationships, I'm just meant to show up as a partner and focus on that. Like, how can I be a partner? Which it sounds like you're doing.
Definitely.
But that sometimes gets confusing for me, because I think showing up as a partner means making sure that this person is okay no matter what. Like, I need to make sure you're never in a bad mood. I need to make sure I know exactly the right thing to do at every given moment. I need to make sure that even if you're not saying it, I know how you're feeling so I can react appropriately. And that's not true. It means that, like, when someone communicates their needs, I try to meet them to the best of my ability. And I try to show up and be present and focus on love instead of fear and instead of, like, what am I getting out of this and what am I going to lose?
Right.
Like,
love rather than control.
Yeah. And, like, I tend, for both of these advice questions, I think, like, for me, they brought up memories of, like, always presuming I know what the other person is thinking. Like,
yes,
I know this person did this because they weren't thinking about me and they were careless about my emotions. I know this person is annoyed by me. I know this person hates when I do this. I know this person thinks that I'm this way. And the truth is, like, I actually have no idea unless they specifically say that. So all I can go off of is what they specifically say. If someone specifically says something I do bothers them, my natural response to that is, like, cool, like, I hate myself and I'm garbage, and, like, cool, like, you think you should leave me, like, how can we control this? Like, I'll fully change my personality because you just said one thing bothered you, or, like, it's all over. And the truth is, like, that's actually just communication, like Carolina said, and I can actually just, like, slightly adjust something or say, like, oh, that's actually not something I can change. Like, that's something I've said before in relationships, is, like, that's actually not something I can work on. I've already tried to work on it, and it's actually just a part of my personality, you know? And, like, those relationships, like, ended because that person, I don't think, was able to accept that part of my personality. But there's some stuff that's like, oh, yeah, like, when I do this, I am this way, and that's the way it is. And then there's other stuff that's like, oh, yeah, I can be a little bit cleaner. I can be a little bit more on time to things. I can be a little bit more organized, and I can work on that.
I think that it's okay to, I have a very, very, very hard time not checking in with people to make sure they're okay. And a lot of that speaks to being disconnected from myself in general. I have a hard, it's easier for me to ask what is wrong with the silent person next to me than for me to really connect with myself. So in moments where you just want to figure out if her silence is that you forgot something or that you made her upset or that you were too hovery or whatever, instead, like, try touching base back home for a second, because I can't tell you in those moments if I'm cold, hungry, happy, sad. I'm in pure fight or flight because, like Devin said, I'm worried about I'm losing something. And I would really be as open as she is being during this, where if she does seem upset, you know, you can ask her if everything's okay. And what I've learned is you ask once.
Yes.
You don't ask over and over again. We don't have to grovel. That hurts our self-esteem. And we take them at face value. And yeah. I think not just because I want another listener, but you can say, I, you know, am listening to this podcast and it reminded me of, you know, times that I have been codependent with you. You know, it's not that it's helping. It doesn't have to be something that she can listen to help her. It can be something that you enjoy because it's helped you. Right? Right?
And it can be something that maybe like you rate and maybe like the rating is 5 stars and maybe you review it. Maybe you subscribe. Maybe you check us out on Spotify. Maybe you go on the old Twitter, you know, the little blue bird, and you search True Romance Pod at True Romance Pod. Maybe you smash the follow. Maybe you smash a couple likes, smash a couple retweets, get the word out. And then maybe you go on a little Instagram and then you see, oh my God, sorry, I just got a Charlie horse. And then you see, you know, we're also on Instagram and you think, oh, okay, at True Romance Pod on Instagram, I'll follow that, give that a smash, give that a like, give that a retweet, give that a repost.
While your girlfriend's in the kitchen, you take her phone out of her purse.
Yes.
And you think, oh, another 5-star review, perchance. Oh, another subscribe.
No, we don't condone relying in relationships, but if you have to steal multiple people's phones and pretend to be different people and give us 5-star reviews,
that's okay.
That's okay. And that's a boundary and that's a love language. And that's something that is something that's, you know, it helps society. So I just think, you know, if you happen to do that, that's, you know, whatever.
Another season of the show. I don't know. I think some people would like to see that.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with our final segment of the episode. I want true romance. Welcome back to True Romance. Listeners, we wanted to end this episode on a high note in case everything we just said is a low note, which is, you know,
psycho that you even think that.
Yeah, it's really like, you know, that would be an abhorrent way to think. But if you did not enjoy a second of this episode till now.
I'm Googling.
I don't know if you're hearing Carolina's click, click, clacking on the Googling of abhorrent. It means like disgusting.
Diaper.
It means diapy, dump ass concrete implants. If you thought this whole episode was equivalent to a diapy, dump ass on the back of a Kardashian that doesn't deserve it, then you should just at least give this final segment a chance, because it's not by us. It's by the wonderful and insightful, inspiring Jessi Konevsky. You may recognize her from TRL, and she has a very special quarantine segment for us. So give that a listen, and then we'll catch you next time on True Romance.
Love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
Jessi here with your True Romance quarantine report. Once in a while, you might find yourself at age, say, 38, wearing a firming serum face mask, lying in bed, watching the Degrassi Network on Pluto TV and thinking to yourself, I actually don't feel like seeing Jimmy get shot tonight. But you do feel like the comfort of something familiar and also a little new, and of course you want lockers, always lockers. Enter the Saved by the Bell reboot. Now, let's talk about my obsession with lockers. I fully believe it comes from Saved by the Bell. When I was a kid, I used to watch Saved by the Bell on Saturday mornings. It was must-see TV. I also watched after school, but any true Bell fan knows that the new episodes happen on Saturday mornings. You started at 11, you stayed for California Dreams, and you made yourself a sandwich during NBA Inside Stuff. That was a perfect Saturday morning to me. And everything that happened on Saved by the Bell happened at the lockers. Lisa's clothes were sold from the doors of the lockers. Screech was in and out of lockers all the time. And Kelly had to make her choice between Zach and Slater in front of the lockers. This is what I grew up knowing, expecting, dreaming of. I would have decorated my locker with Lisa Frank art and pictures of my friends. It would have been perfect. Let me tell you the shock and pain I suffered when I found out that I was a New York City public school kid that would never have a locker. The schools were too overcrowded. They could not assign a locker to every student in the school, and they didn't even have them to assign. It just wasn't going to happen for me. No lockers. None in existence. And I can't let it go. I still, to this day, talk about it every chance I get in adult conversations. Even when I went to get my vaccine, I live in New Jersey now, and I went to the local high school, there were floor-to-ceiling lockers. And I texted my friends a picture of this, and I was like, can you believe this? And they were like, yes, of course we can. We all had lockers growing up. What kind of monster were you that you didn't have a locker? Lockers, for me, are going to always be the one that got away. Okay, back to Saved by the Bell. Some things to note. As mentioned, the original Saved by the Bell used to air on Saturday mornings as a children's show that could compete with cartoons. It was a little campy, a little corny at times, and there was a lot of wooing when people would kiss, like, woo! There was nothing else like it. I was an obsessed diehard fan. I currently sleep in a ripped Zach Attacked t-shirt that I've had since college, and not to brag, but I've ranked pretty high in some Saved by the Bell trivia contests. This new version of Saved by the Bell is not meant to compete with cartoons. It's a little grittier, a little more real, and a little less corny. Our main character is Daisy. She is more relatable than Zach Morris ever was, and even Mac Morris, Zach Morris's son, he's more realistic than Zach was. The premise of the show stems from some education cutbacks, thanks to Governor Zach Morris, forcing kids from lower-ranked school districts to be relocated to the rich Palisades district, and they all come together at where else? The locker capital of the world, Bayside High. Here's the thing. Do I love this reboot? Yeah. I absolutely do. I laugh out loud while I'm watching it. I get every reference on the show, and I think there might be something brewing again between Jesse and Slater. It's interesting because they were always like the B couple in the original version. Zach and Kelly were the A couple. We were very focused on them, very invested in them. But now Zach and Kelly are just like cameos, and we actually can take the time to focus and root for Jesse and Slater, and I am here for that. Also, John Michael Higgins is just funny in literally every role he's in. Here's the problem. I'm almost 40. I love seeing the old characters have chemistry again. I get all the old references. When a student pulls out a pill bottle and Jessie loses her mind saying, if it's caffeine pills, you will lose everything, including your recording contract, and you'll never be in Hot Sunday, and you'll let everyone down. Like, I get that. And when Slater shows up at a high school party and he's like, hit it, and it starts playing that same, like, score that's always in every single episode of Saved by the Bell, and he starts twirling and doing the splits like he used to when we watched it. And then all the students are standing around with their jaws dropped, like, what is this? And they're silent. That's funny to me. But are tweens getting this? Are people that didn't grow up watching the Saved by the Bell getting these jokes? I feel like tweens today will probably watch this, not get any of the jokes, shut it off, and then go back to making a beetroot pasta on TikTok. And you know what? Thank you for that. I actually made it. It was easy and healthy and delicious. So please keep doing what you're doing. You guys are excellent on TikTok. Even though this show is a little confusing to figure out who the audience is, I think it's me. And so if I'm the target audience, 5 out of 5 stars, because I love Saved by the Bell and I love stuff for myself. Okay, so if you've been paying attention to me at all, you know that growing up, if I had an obsession with something, it was never a healthy one. I like to call it my checkered past. Of course, Saved by the Bell was no different. It wasn't enough to just watch Saved by the Bell and love Saved by the Bell and have all the Saved by the Bell merch and dream about Saved by the Bell. I had to take it just a little bit too far. So one day I found out Mark Polgosler was going to be on The View. He was promoting, I think it was NYPD Blue. My friend Laurie came with me. We actually planned this the night before because we had to do standby tickets. We got to the ABC studios on the Upper West Side around 5 a.m. It was freezing cold. It was November. I remember that. And my friend Laurie is like so bubbly and lovable that, of course, she talked to the audience coordinator and we were sitting in the front row. And he waved to us and we cheered, and Star Jones pointed us out and she was like, they've been here since 5 a.m. And it was a whole moment exchange between us. We didn't get pictures with him. We didn't get autographs or anything like that. But everybody saw us on national TV with Mark Paul Gosselaar. And that was enough for me. My mom growing up paid attention to what I did about 45% of the time, I would say. And I remember that night I came home and she was like, hey, Aunt Gloria says she saw you on The View this morning. And I was like, yeah, she did. So what? Was it my favorite interaction with a celebrity while sitting in a talk show audience? No. That probably goes to when I was in the Watch What Happens Live audience and John Cena was the guest and I wore his sweatbands and caught his attention. And during the commercial break, he got up and held my hand and thanked me for being a fan. But that's another story for another time. Anyway, Saved by the Bell, the original, the reboot, Hawaiian style, whatever type of Saved by the Bell you have to check out, do it because they're all great. And that's my report. See ya. All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True. Love.